But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. As were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore stay awake, for you don't know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you don't expect. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour that he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
I'm going to stand here so I can be closer to everyone. There's no PA today. Right, may I add my welcome to Julia's. If we haven't met, my name is Brian, and it's lovely to see you here today at the Moorgate Talks. Last week, we learnt that Jesus is coming soon. Now that the temple in Jerusalem has been destroyed, we are living in the last days of history. The next big event in God's calendar is the return of Jesus. Now, we all have big events in our calendars, don't we? For some of us, we have professional exams coming up, and so we're studying hard for them now. Others of us will have important client meetings, maybe this afternoon even, and you have spent the morning preparing for them. Or we may be looking forward to a big birthday. I went to a friend's 40th birthday recently. Or we might be looking forward to an exciting holiday, or even your retirement. Well, Jesus' return is a much bigger event than any of the above. As we learnt last week, it will be an earth-shattering, seismic event. The world as we know it will end. Those who belong to Jesus will be gathered up to be with him forever. And those who do not belong to him will have to face his judgment. And so whether you are a believer or not, Jesus' return will have massive implications for you. Okay, so how can we prepare for Jesus' return? This is a hugely important question for all of us. It really, really matters that we are prepared for Jesus' second coming because it is a matter of eternal life and death. My longing is that you will be ready for his return. And my prayer is that you will listen now to what Jesus has to say about it. Today's passage is the first of three on how we should live in light of Jesus' second coming. So please do come back the next 2 weeks to listen to parts 2 and 3. Phil will be giving those talks. But for today, our first point is this. And you see the points on the handout. Jesus' return will be unexpected, so stay awake. Jesus' return will be unexpected, so stay awake. Jesus starts by saying that no one knows the day when he will be coming back, except the Father only. Verse 36, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. It's striking that not even Jesus himself knows when he will be coming back. The return date of Jesus is a super confidential top secret. Now imagine if Jesus' return date was in this envelope. X year, X month, X day. What Jesus is saying to us, that only God the Father knows what is inside this envelope. Jesus' return will be a surprise to everyone else. Now, do you remember the story of Noah? People remember? Yeah. Classic Sunday school story. Well, Jesus uses the story of Noah to reinforce the point that his return will be unexpected. Verse 37. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Now, before the flood came, people were living their lives as normal. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. They had no idea that the world was about to be deluged. They didn't realize that they would soon be swept away. The flood came as a huge shock, and it was too late to do anything about it when it happened. And so it will be when Jesus comes back. Our banks will be wining and dining their clients. Law firms will be hosting their Christmas parties. Wetherspoons will be full. McDonald's, Burger King, and Five Guys will be thriving. Pret and Itsu will be opening new stores. And delivery drivers will be zooming here, there, and everywhere, delivering meals to hungry customers who can't be bothered to cook. Did you know that every year almost 280,000 weddings take place in the UK? But that doesn't even compare to the US. There were around 2 million weddings last year. That's over 5,000 weddings per day. One of my friends from church got married there earlier this year. The fact is, weddings happen all the time. All of us will probably attend several weddings in our lifetimes. My flatmate is getting married in January. I know some of us know him. Maybe you know someone else getting married soon too. Well, weddings are a normal part of life for most people. And then all of a sudden, Jesus will return. It will be completely unexpected. People will be having sandwiches just like we are now when he returns. They'll be drinking beer with their colleagues in the pub. You know, the posters outside say, beer o'clock. That's what people will be doing. The proud father will be walking his daughter down the aisle, and the groom will be putting on the wedding ring on his bride's finger. Life will just be carrying on as normal when suddenly and unexpectedly Jesus will show up. Then what? Well, verse 40 tells us, two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. In other words, those who belong to Jesus will be gathered up to heaven to be with him, but those who don't will be left behind. Can you just imagine how shocked our non-Christian friends will be? They'll be caught totally off guard. Now think of your colleagues or your neighbors and how they would respond. What? Is that really Jesus coming down from the clouds? And wait a minute, has Will just been taken up to heaven? It's unbelievable. Surely this can't be happening. They will seriously regret not having taken Jesus seriously. They'll be sorry that they used Jesus' name as a swear word. They'll realize for the first time in their lives, perhaps, that Jesus is a real person who has been given authority by God to judge the nations. But it will be too late for them. They will have to face his judgment. But so what? If Jesus is coming back at an hour that we do not expect, what does that actually mean for us here? Well, Jesus actually tells us in verse 42, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Stay awake. Jesus then tells the story of the house that was broken into at night. Verse 43. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. The point is, stay awake, because you don't know when Jesus will be coming back. And so the disciples need to be fully aware that Jesus could come back at any moment. They need to be ready for his return. They must not be caught off guard like everyone else. But you may be thinking, what does it actually mean to stay awake? Well, Jesus tells us in the next section of our passage. This is point two. Staying awake means being a faithful servant. Well, in the next few verses, Jesus uses a parable to explain what it means to stay awake. In this story, you have a master and a servant. I wonder how many people have watched Downton Abbey? Raise your hands. Raise your hands. Yeah, quite a few. Okay. I've watched it myself. So you have heard of two characters. So Lord Grantham, he's the master of the house and the estate of Downton Abbey, and he has a butler who's called Carson. So let's call the master Lord Grantham and the servant Carson in Jesus' parable. Lord Grantham is about to go away, and so he orders Carson to look after the other servants in his absence. Now Carson has two choices. He can either be a faithful servant, or he can be a wicked servant. If he chooses to be the former, he will do a good job of looking after the other servants. He'll give them food at the right time. He will help them out when they need it, and he will treat them as Lord Grantham would like them to be treated. And then when Lord Grantham returns, well, he'll find Carson doing his job. And of course, he'll be pleased. He'll reward Carson for having been a faithful servant. He'll promote him to be manager of the whole Downton Abbey estate. Verse 46. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. Big reward in response to faithful service. But then, on the other hand, Carson could also choose to be a wicked servant, couldn't he? He could think to himself, look, Lord Grantham isn't going to be back for a while, so why don't I just do as I please? Why don't I, you know, act as if I'm the boss? And so he starts beating up the other servants to show them who's boss. He doesn't give them the food that they deserve, but instead he eats it himself. And then he comes up with a cunning plan. He invites his friends to Downton Abbey, and he puts on a feast for them. He takes out the best wine from Lord Grantham's wine cellar, and he gets drunk with his friends. Well, when Lord Grantham comes back, what do you think he would do when he sees what Carson has been up to? Well, he's going to be incensed. He's going to punish Carson. And that is exactly what the master does to his servant in Jesus' parable. The punishment is severe. And you wouldn't even see this in a Downton Abbey episode. This is like 18 plus. Verse 50. The master of the servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We must acknowledge that these are hard-hitting words. The master will cut down the servant and throw him into hell. I think what this shows us is that Jesus cares deeply about the mistreatment of his followers. And he cares about it so much that he will punish those who abuse them severely. Okay, so how does this parable help us to understand what it means to stay awake? Well, staying awake means being a faithful servant. If Jesus is our master, well, we should do the work that he has given us to do. Now, at the end of Matthew's gospel, just a couple of chapters ahead, Jesus commands his disciples to fulfill the Great Commission. I've included this in the handouts. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of my Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And so making disciples is the work that we should be getting on with. This is the work that Jesus' 12 disciples engaged in. It is the same work that subsequent generations of disciples have been involved in as well. Because of their faithful service, there are now hundreds of millions of Jesus' disciples all over the world. One of my heroes is Billy Graham. I wonder if people have heard of Billy Graham. Yeah, most people have. He grew up on a farm in North Carolina, but then God converted him and raised him up as an evangelist. Billy faithfully obeyed the Great Commission and preached the gospel all over the world for many decades. Millions of people heard the good news of Jesus Christ through him, including my own dad. Billy also led a life of integrity and godliness. He died aged 99 a few years ago. I visited his home, which is now a museum, shortly after his death, and I was deeply inspired by his lifelong faithfulness to the Lord Jesus. I trust that when Jesus comes back, he will give him a generous reward for his faithfulness. Now, I know that not all of us will have the same high-profile ministry as Billy, but we too have been commissioned by the Lord Jesus to make disciples of all nations. And so let's be faithful in obeying what the Lord has commanded us to do in our own context. Now, some of us may choose to focus particularly on making disciples in the workplace. I know there's lots of workplace Christian groups and that you guys are involved in. Bank of England, Schroders, and so on. It's really, really great work that you guys are doing. Keep it up. I know others of us may have significant responsibilities in our local churches. We may be church wardens, we may be on the PCC, we may be small group Bible study leaders, or Sunday school teachers, or have one-to-one discipleship ministries. Others of us who have children will be making disciples of them at home, seeking to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's fantastic. It's great that you can be making disciples at home. And one or two of us may even be thinking of becoming missionaries in far-flung places to preach Christ to those who have not heard of him before. Whatever our context, let's seek to be faithful servants of the Lord, so that when he comes back, he will say to us, "Blessed are you, faithful servant. I will set you over all my possessions." Staying awake also means not being a wicked servant. It means not abusing our brothers and sisters. It means not engaging in conduct unbecoming of Jesus' disciples. In simple terms, it means not being ungodly in our behavior. Jesus probably had in mind his teaching to the disciples in the Sermon on the Mount earlier on in Matthew's Gospel. In Jesus' day, the scribes and Pharisees were wicked servants. If you read Matthew chapter 23, you see that Jesus pronounces seven woes on them. They looked godly on the outside, but their hearts and their actions were evil. Those of them who refuse to repent will be cut down and they'll be sent to hell when Jesus returns. Remember, Jesus cares so much about the mistreatment of his disciples that he will punish those who abuse them severely. Sadly, the church has also had its fair share of wicked servants. At first, they may have given the impression that they were faithful servants, but over the course of time, they were exposed as wicked servants. Ravi Zacharias is a recent example. Similar to Billy Graham, Ravi was a high-profile, globe-trotting defender of the Christian faith. But in contrast to Billy, after his death, he was found to have abused hundreds of women, many of whom were Christians. He has been described by one of his former employees as one of his generation's greatest frauds, a sexual predator, and a uniquely charismatic manipulator. Ravi may have escaped justice in this life, but he will not escape justice when Jesus comes back. The lesson for us is that we must not be like Ravi. Those of us who are Jesus' disciples must not mistreat our brothers and sisters in Christ. We must be godly in our conduct. At this point, I'd just like to stress that salvation is not by works. The Bible is clear that it is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that we are made right with God. If you're not yet a Christian, put your trust in Jesus Christ and you will be saved. No amount of good works will save you. You cannot earn your way into heaven by doing lots of Christian ministry. If you'd like to chat more about this, please do speak to me at the end. But if you are already a follower of Jesus, this passage shows us that the Lord Jesus expects us to be faithful servants as we wait for his return. Jesus could come back at any time. Maybe this afternoon when you're working in the office, maybe tonight when you're at home, or maybe tomorrow when you're having lunch. Anytime. It'll be unexpected, out of the blue. But in the meantime, we should be getting on with the work of making disciples, and we should live lives that are godly. When Jesus comes back, we can expect a generous reward from him. We will be put in charge of all his possessions. So let's stay awake by being like the faithful servant and not be like the wicked servant, like Billy Graham and not like Rabbi Zacharias. Verse 46 again. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this reminder that Jesus could come back at any moment. It will be unexpected and people will be completely taken by surprise. But help us not to be shocked by it. Help us to be prepared for his return. Help us to stay awake by being faithful servants, by doing the work that he has commissioned us to do, and by living godly lives. Lives that show love towards our brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.